Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Brendan Duvener. Brendan is an Army veteran and the founder of Life Skills for Soldiers, a nonprofit organization with the mission of improving financial literacy among U.S. service members. So welcome to the show, Brendan. I'm glad to have you here.
Thanks, Scott. It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the listeners who aren't familiar with you and what you do, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Brendan. I was a Army field artillery officer for a little over 4 years, currently still in the reserves and part of the Army's 75th Innovation Command. But right after going off of active duty, I went to Wharton to get my MBA and started Life Skills for Soldiers in 2019. So we've been at it for about 3 years now. Really passion project, something I saw very in depth during my time in the military, sadly. So do that. And then I also have something called a search fund.
So the Life Skills for Soldiers, you're focused on like financial literacy, the things that we joke about so much in the military with, you know, just how poor people are with their money and saving, investing, doing smart things with their money. And so I'd like to talk about Life Skills for Soldiers, the nonprofit, and tell us more about what it does and where the idea for it came from.
Yeah. So really what we do at Life Skills for Soldiers is we are true believers in the train the trainer methodology. We really think that, you know, we could come and teach soldiers, but that's ineffective. The soldiers don't know who we are. They're never going to see us again. It's what the DoD is now, and it just doesn't work. So instead, our model is we create courses that are tailored to junior military audiences, you know, things like basic investing, how to use the TSP, how to make a budget. Very kind of simple topics like that, but we do it in a way that's aimed at training the trainer. So we take that lieutenant, that sergeant, we get them trained up, we give them everything they need, presentation, notes, handouts, for them to turn around and teach their troops. And by doing it that way, soldiers are much more likely to listen and pay attention because they're being taught by someone they know and respect. And now that leader has gotten an opportunity to build leadership capital with their people. And now that they know their people's goals, they can help them stay accountable to them, which is really the hardest part of any kind of financial literacy thing. You know, none of this isn't rocket science. It's not that hard. It's just about being disciplined and just doing it, frankly. And so we truly believe that by bringing the leader in the loop and getting them trained up and having them teach, we produce much better results.
Yeah. And you're right. It's not rocket science to do this. It is a very disciplined thing that you need to do, though, in your life. And this goes for anyone. It's not just for military or veterans or whatever. Everyone should be disciplined in their finances in their life. And it's pretty simple. If you think about it, you have a certain amount of money coming in. You have a certain amount of money going out. If the amount of money going out is more than the money coming in, you're going to probably be in a bad situation. And so you need to, and obviously that's a very simplistic view of what it is, but if you think about it like that, it's basic math. If you know that you're having X amount of dollars coming in every month, you can't spend more than that, whatever that X number is. And so, and you have other things that you need to maybe put some money aside for. Maybe you have kids and you want to save for college, and or you want to put some money away for a rainy day or for unforeseen medical expenses or that type of thing. So you have to plan for that. And that's where that scary word budget comes in and all that kind of stuff. So when you start thinking about it that way and you break it down into small little pieces, it doesn't seem quite so scary anymore. But I like the approach, that train the trainer approach, because you're absolutely right with the ability to keep people accountable to, you know, whatever their goals are and things like that. If you came in and you talked to a group of 50, 100 people or whatever the case may be, and you talk to them for an afternoon about their finances, they're going to forget about it by the time they walk out the door. Not to say anything against your training or anything like that. It's just kind of human nature that, who is this guy? What does he mean to me? Whatever, you know, like they're probably just going to start forgetting about things. And when you are being taught some of this stuff by someone that you see every day, that you're training with, that you're going to work with, and now you can follow up with them and say, okay, we talked about this. What is it that your goals are, and how can we help keep you accountable towards those goals? So that's the thing I love about the military, is how we do help each other out with these things that are outside of our typical job in the military, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the financial problem, it is a problem for the entire U.S. population. If you look at the numbers, you know, we're not very good at it. And for a lot of reasons, it actually makes sense. You know, according to a Pew Research report, the real average wage in 2019 had the same purchasing power as it did in 1964, meaning that wages hadn't gone up as much as inflation, which means it's just harder to buy the same amount of things, right? The only problem is, in the military, wages have actually beaten inflation consistently. So military members, their purchasing power has actually gone up, but this issue has not gotten better. It has gotten redder in the last few years, but it's just abysmal, frankly. And so there's really, you know, I think anybody who's been in the military for a day, I think can kind of intuitively tell why this is. You know, you have a lot of service members joining at a very young age, often from, you know, poor public school systems. They probably didn't talk about money with their family, you know, and you're cooped up. You go to basic training, you go to AIT, and then all of a sudden you get a little bit of freedom. You've got a few thousand dollars in your bank account and you think you're rich, and you go out there. Not only do you spend it, but oftentimes you spend it on a car, and you get into debt, and you get into high interest debt, and you don't know what that is. And, you know, it just compounds so quickly, and it gets these service members in these holes that it could take a decade to get out of. And it doesn't just affect the service member. It affects their families. You know, military divorce rates are really high for a lot of reasons. I would argue financial problems is one of the top ones. It affects units. I mean, when I had soldiers who were going through money problems, you know, their PT was not nearly as good. There was lost work. It was just bad, and it affects the military as a whole. So it's a really holistic problem that, you know, I think the military is especially well geared to solve, because we have that leadership structure. There is that camaraderie and that, you know, that sense of generally respect for your superiors, your sergeant, your lieutenant, your first sergeant, whoever it is. So I really think that the military can be a case study of how to solve this problem, and everybody would benefit from it.
Yeah. And I think you touched on something a little bit earlier, is that a lot of this stuff, while it is pretty straightforward, it's not being taught in public schools. A lot of times they don't teach things like having a budget or balancing a checkbook or planning for future expenses or any of that kind of stuff. Why? I don't know. I'm not an educator. That's not my background, but it seems like that is definitely something that in the American public, it should be in our best interest to be teaching these things. And so when you have an institution as large as the American military with so many people, you can start to address this problem and help these service members not make the bad decisions that they are historically prone to making, right? There's that common joke in the military that you'll eventually have a private that goes out and buys a brand new Mustang at 29% interest or something stupid like that. And it's true. It happens all the time and you hear about it. And these people don't know just how much 29% interest is and how ridiculous it is to have to pay something like that over the lifetime of the vehicle, right?
Yeah. No, It's a pervasive problem. And fortunately, I will say legislation is getting better. I know I wrote a white paper on this topic, and at that time, I think only 15 states had any kind of personal finance curriculum in the required education in high school. And I know, I think Michigan is the most recent state to pass it. So it's going in the right direction on the school side, but this is going to take years to get in place. And then it's going to take years to figure out how to do it correctly. And even then, I mean, you're teaching high school kids. So, you know, let's see what the sticking rate is. I think it's a phenomenal thing. I think it should be in every single state, but, you know, it's not going to be a perfect solution, right? And so, you know, this is something that, again, like, I just truly fundamentally believe that with these skills, it is education, but it's really more about habit building and discipline than anything else. And the best way to do that is, one, to do it when you're young, but two, to have somebody kind of mentor you through it, just like anything else. That is really where I think the military would shine with this, especially because, you know, it's in everyone's best interest. Let's say the platoon sergeant is going to be the one teaching it in a platoon. Well, when Private Snuffy has an issue because of money and therefore gets into all kinds of trouble, guess who's dealing with it? It's that squad leader. It's that platoon sergeant. It's that platoon leader. So it's in their vested interest to teach these kinds of things to get ahead of problems. Not to mention, you know, who cares about their people more than that squad leader, platoon sergeant, like than that leadership? Nobody, because they see them every day. You build these very personal connections with people, especially when you're in the field for weeks or you're on deployment or you're in combat. You know, so I really think it's just a no-brainer. And at Life Skills for Soldiers, we're trying to be the example of that. We're trying to show, you know, right now through the nonprofit grassroots space that this is very possible. If we can teach, if we can train up leaders quickly and effectively, then we can make a huge impact.
Yeah, and that impact will ripple out throughout the military, because when you train that platoon sergeant to then train his or her platoon, and they get all of those people trained up to par, that now they have these skills, these financial skills to improve their lives when they move up the ranks and they become squad leaders, platoon sergeants, first sergeants, whatever, they're going to be able to then train they're going to be able to train their own troops as well. And so this will now ripple out and affect so many more people than just the handful of people in that one initial maybe training session that took place. And I think that's the way a lot of like institutional knowledge gets passed on through the ranks in the military. Just overall, you hear stories about people who served in maybe Vietnam and then passing on some of that information, where our country wasn't really in combat for a while after Vietnam. And then now all of a sudden we had Desert Storm, and then they passed on some of that knowledge to those troops. And so those guys who were in, they may have been lower enlisted people at that time during the war, but you know, they are in a leadership position down the road, and then they're able to pass on that information. So I think it's really great the way you're doing this and train the trainer approach. I've always found that in the military, that type of approach had the biggest impact with any kind of training, not just this type of training, but any kind of training that you'd have in the military. When you would do the train, the trainer, it had that exponential effect where that one person that you trained can now go out and train a group of 40 or 50 people. And then those 40 or 50 people can then go train other people. And it just made it so much more effective, I found.
Yeah, you know, logistically, it's a lot easier. You know, DOD is not dumb. That they know this is a problem. Actually, in 2016, Congress passed legislation mandating that DOD teach service members about financial literacy. I can tell you, I was in 2016 to 2020 on active duty. I don't think I ever got a personal finance class other than maybe one mandatory training that probably, you know, half slept through. But DOD knows it's a problem. And so they created the Office of Financial Readiness in 2017. In 2019, that office kind of laid out, okay, this is what's going to be taught and when. And I think they're trying to slowly have it ripple out throughout the force. But I think the main issue with it, it's all well-intentioned. I think it's all great. I think the big issue is just the delivery method. You know, right now, the delivery method is through mostly either DOD civilians or contractors that they come in, they teach these giant course, 300 people, whatever, when you're in processing a base or something, you know, it's just like this huge training. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody wants to be there in the first place. Like, you know, it's lumped in with 10 other trainings that day. So it doesn't even get any kind of attention or anything. You know, I think that's really the problem. And I think the beauty of the trainer model is logistically, it's so scalable, right? I mean, you have to teach, let's say you train one person platoon, you have to train 1/30th of the people that you have to train otherwise, right? And I also think that if you do it correctly, you know, you could do it in kind of a hybrid format. What we do with Life Skills for Soldiers is we have our learning management software and all of our courses on there, and leaders can access it at any time. It's completely free, and they could just go in there and they get what they need. And I think, you know, if we had more funding and whatnot, we could even offer some kind of a hybrid option where if you're a leader and you're going through, and let's say you're stuck on a course concept, or you actually got through the course and now you're just figuring out the logistics of teaching your people, you could schedule time with, let's say, a Life Skills for Soldiers trainer, some kind of personal finance expert who could walk you through how to do that. I really think the linchpin of this whole thing is those junior military leaders. I could tell you, I mean, I'm sure you saw it, Scott. The most overburdened people in the military are those first and second line leaders. Like that, everything somehow ends up on their shoulders. Yeah. And so, you know, that is a real problem, especially when those are the people you want to use for a train the trainer kind of thing. But I think the way you relieve this issue is one, like I said, like we've talked about, you know, these skills aren't that tough. It's just about, you just need to create courses, which we've done, that teaches it quickly and effectively. And it's hyper-focused. It's on one thing. You know, we're not talking about the broad spectrum of investing here. We're talking about the TSP. You know, maybe next time we could talk about mutual funds and bonds and all that kind of stuff, but we're just focused on the TSP right now. If you could just fix every service member's TSP account, you would create billions of dollars of wealth for military and veterans easily. You know, so I really think it's incredibly possible, and that by having the very kind of structured to the point courses like we have, as well as creating all the materials that leader needs, you know, I can't tell you how many times I went and made a class for my platoon about how to make a budget or how to invest or how to buy a car or how to use a credit card, whatever it was. And I'm sure there's a million Lieutenant Dubners and Smith and whatever who have just recreated the wheel over and over and over. And instead, we at Life Skills for Soldiers, we want to be that hub where you don't need to do all this work. We've already done it. And guess what? After you use it, you send us your feedback and we're going to make it even better and better and better. We're going to consistently iterate. So I think by effectively equipping those leaders, you can get rid of that main barrier, which is that they're currently the ones who are working pretty hard.
Yeah, they're working hard and they're, like you said, they're doing a lot of other things. They're trying to keep a lot of plates spinning at the same time. And this one, if it doesn't affect them personally, it may not be a high priority issue for them. They may have other fires to go put out. And so this might just be something that falls through the cracks. Oh, you know, if they don't have their finances together, that's their problem, that type of thing. And, you know, that's not the best approach or the best attitude to have about it. But when you have all these other things on your plate and you're trying to do more than you have time to do, then something has to give at some point. And you're absolutely right about it as far as like in processing goes or things like that, when you're sitting through class after class after class, and it's like drinking from a fire hose when you're not going to get everything. Mostly it's going to end up splattered on the sidewalk or whatever, you know, it's not going to seep into your brain. So, you know, why not take this approach that you're doing? And it makes sense that you would sit down with the soldiers that, you know, you care about and make sure that they're doing okay as far as their finances go. And I think this probably could be applied to a lot of other things in their lives, not just finances. It could be, you know, things in their marriage, things in their, you know, personal lives and things like that. Because when you have problems with money, you're probably going to have problems in your relationships. And when you have problems at home in your relationships and with your finances, you're probably going to bring some of that into work with you. And if your head's not on straight in the military, that's when people get hurt, people get killed, bad things happen, right? And so this, I think, is one of the more important ways of addressing some of the problems that we have here and getting people on the right track so that they're focused on the right things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that really differentiates our military versus others is that we empower and use our lower leaders, right? Like that's something we could see with the Ukraine crisis right now, right? Why is Russia having a lot of problems against a technically inferior foe? It's because they every decision has to be made at like the highest level. I mean, when they had that 40-mile convoy that was running out of gas and running out of food, you know, that's because they're not empowering they don't use their NCOs at all, and they don't empower their lowest level leaders. And I think that's something that we do, and we could do even better. And I think this is kind of the model for doing it, right? Like again, who has more of a vested interest in this? Nobody than those first and second line leaders. And this is a way to help build your future commanders, help build your future first sergeants. You know, you get them, you teach them how to not only teach their soldiers how to shoot at the range or do movement contact or whatever, but you also, you teach them how to take care of the whole person, how to lead the whole person. Because in the military, unlike a lot of civilian careers, you're really in charge of the whole person. It's not just that you put on the uniform, you go to work, you lead, like you are military 24/7. So I think there's just a lot. I think personal finance is the best place to start. But like you said, I think it could be applied to a plethora of things. And the second and third order effects of this would be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw a few interesting stats on your website, and one of which was that 29% of junior enlisted troops faced food insecurity in 2020. And to me, that was mind-blowing, because it isn't that they aren't being paid enough to be able to get the food that they need, although I certainly think that they could be paid more, right? It's largely, I think, probably due to the mismanagement of their finances, right?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. You know, obviously 2020 was a tough year with COVID, but this is not its own thing. You know, there's a 2015 study done at a Joint Base San Antonio, and that one found that nearly 1 in 7 military households with children 5 years or younger faced food insecurity. You know, this is, like I said, military pay has actually been outpacing inflation for something like 40 to 50 years. So this should not be as big of a problem as it is. You know, so the Military Family Advisory Network, phenomenal nonprofit, does a lot of work in collecting the data on this stuff. Their 2017 survey said that 60% of military families don't have enough savings to cover 3 months of living expenses. What that tells you is, hey, you get in a car accident, you know, some unforeseen circumstance happens, you're kind of screwed. You know, you're probably going to have to take out a personal loan, which could have super high interest rate, which is going to hurt you for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, these things compile very quickly, just like they can compound so negatively. If you just get on the right track early on, they can compound positively. Insanely. I mean, how many times have you heard some kind of financial expert telling you, you know, if you're 18 years old, if you just save $80 a month, you'll be a millionaire? Like, that is true. That is 100% true. It is just simply about, you know, getting people early and just getting them on the right track. And it's something that we could just do a lot better.
Yeah. And could you imagine if the private coming right out of basic training, instead of going out and buying that Mustang at 29% interest or whatever it is, they took some of that money that they saved up while they're in basic training. They really didn't have anywhere to spend that money. They took some of that money and started investing it going towards retirement. And they were consistent about that. And they continued to do that throughout their career, just investing small amounts. Like you said, it's not like we're talking, you got to put thousands and thousands of dollars away each month in order to build up that amount. But over the course of their career and throughout their lifetime, as that money builds interest and accumulates more and more and more, yes, they could retire with $1 million or more, even in their retirement account. And that's just through being disciplined and not blowing your money on stupid things that you don't need, or spending more money than you have coming in and things like that. It's just really a matter of being disciplined. And I just think about all these soldiers going through basic training, my own company going through basic training. I think about all those people, and I think how many of those people came out of basic training with even the slightest idea what to do with all that money that they saved up over that time. And very few people, I think, probably did anything smart with it, you know. Not to say anything negative about those people, it's just kind of a reality.
You know, I think if we could get people to invest the money, put it towards retirement, whatever, that would be incredible. You know,
yeah,
that would be phenomenal. But, you know, I was 18 once, you know, I think the odds of that are maybe slim. So, but, you know, it's not even that we need them to not buy the Mustang. Probably don't buy the Mustang, but if you get it, like, don't let it be more armed with information and know better than to chase the lowest monthly payment. Understand what an interest rate is. Understand, you know, what total cost of ownership is. How much is insurance on that car going to cost? How much is the gas going to cost? Like, you know, all those kinds of things. If soldiers just kind of knew that, and they had leaders who helped them understand that and helped them kind of stay true to that, you know, I think maybe they still buy the Mustang, but they finance it in a better way, or they buy a couple of years older, or, you know, I'm not, at Life Skills for Soldiers, we don't want to be the fun police here. You know, we're just saying, do what you're going to do, but like, let's be smart about it.
Yeah, exactly. So I know there's probably some people out there, some leaders in the military who are listening to this episode, who want to know more about the services that you offer, the types of things that you do. Where can people go to find out more about all of this? Or how can they help out with things like donations or volunteers if you need those and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. No. So we've got our website, lifeskillsforsoldiers.org. There you can see, you can get involved, look into joining the team. You can donate. You can access our courses. Our courses are 100% free for all U.S. military. So you can access our courses, create an account on our learning management software and get all that started immediately right there on the website. You can also check us out on Instagram. We've got a good following there at Life Skills for Soldiers. You know, I will say, we try to make it as easy as possible. And right now we've got a bunch of courses. We've got how to make a budget. We've got how to choose and use a credit card, how to buy a car, basic investing. We've got a TSP class. We're working on a debt class right now. So understanding different types of debt and how to know kind of what means what in that world. You know, so we've got a bunch of classes available right now, again, completely free for all US military. And we're consistently expanding our course catalog. So if you are a leader who, you know, has seen this problem in their formation, you can make it count right now. If you are somebody who is out of the military now, but still wants to be involved, wants to help us expand that course catalog, wants to help us get the word out, wants to help us, you know, do a million different things, frankly, you can join the team. We'd love to expand the team. And then of course, you know, we're a nonprofit, so donations always help.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will have links to all of that in the show notes for the listeners who want to get involved, either the service members who want to take advantage of these courses, or for the people who want to volunteer or donate, can certainly do that through the website. And I'll have links to that in the show notes for you. Brendan, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I know finances, my background, I have an accounting degree, so I definitely have some background in finances. So I probably could have gone a whole lot deeper with this episode and talked about a whole lot of other things. But you know, I wanted to make sure that we touched on the big points and covered what it is that you guys do and how you're out there making a difference and making things happen in the military community there. So thanks so much, first off, for taking the time to join me and also for sharing what Life Skills for Soldiers does with the audience.
Well, thanks for having me, Scott. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.